I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon. With me is my co-host, NFL Draft Analyst for A to Z Sports, Ryan Roberts. Today, we're going to do a check-in on some of the top receivers in the 2025 NFL Draft, as well as thoughts on some guys that maybe we're not talking about enough and that should be getting some national love for this upcoming draft. Ryan, I want to jump in here talking just general scope of this class. It feels like we knew coming into the year that this receiver unit was not going to be overly exciting. We weren't going to have the same level of talent as last year. I would actually argue, I think that there's been enough of an underperformance to say that there really only could be one or two receivers taken in the first round. And I know that there's a lot of scouting that needs to be done, but the way that it feels as though that we were waiting for big steps to be taken for some players, there's even been steps backward for guys like Luther Burden.
Yeah, I think we talked about it in the summer, but I just think generally this 2025 wide receiver class is a solid to good class. I think it has depth, but I don't think it has the top end talent that we've been used to. I mean, Joe, we've talked about this the other day. We've been absolutely spoiled with wide receiver groups the last like 5 years. I mean, you could argue that like 4 out of 5 have been arguably historic wide receiver classes. I mean, you talk about what some of these guys are just doing just this year with Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Keon Coleman. Who, shocker, Joe, by the way, that Keon Coleman's good. Who would have thought that Keon Coleman would be good?
Right,
but
right.
This wide receiver group, though, I don't think has the top end talent of those classes. They still have some very good talent up top, and it has good depth this year, which I think is the saving grace. But we're not talking about a historical wide receiver group. We're talking about a class that is a step down comparative to what we've seen 4 out of the last 5 years.
Touching on Luther Burden really quickly, because it feels like there was a lot of hype for him at the start of the year. And I was one of the people that was certainly in on that hype that he could take a step forward. He could emerge as the leading receiver in college football, and he could be a big reason for Missouri's success. Last game that I watched of him against Auburn, it feels like he's banged up. It feels like something's off there because he's not the same level of explosive that he was last season for Missouri. He's not the same player after the catch. He's not breaking as many tackles. The route running's still there. The feet are still there, but something feels off where he's not getting that 100% effort when he was such a high effort player last season for Missouri.
I think that we are running into the case of there's a little bit of volatility with Luther Burden. I think there's a couple outside factors on top of, you know, I don't know if he's banged up or not, but I do know. These are the things I do know, though, Joe. The offensive play calling has not been very good, and the quarterback has been really, really poor. And I think that, honestly, although he's not an NFL kid, or at least he was never a high-level NFL kid, losing Cody Schrader and losing the balance that they had from a run game perspective and a pass game perspective, I think has really hurt this passing game because they have talent. I mean, Mookie Cooper and Theo Weiss, like, they have some wide receivers, but I think it's just become a little bit too one-dimensional comparative to what they were in 2023, which has hurt Luther Burden a ton. I tweeted about it yesterday. I watched Luther Burden because I went to check in because, Joe, you want to talk about awful, by the way? 3 catches for 3 yards against Alabama? You could only get a 3 catches for 3 yards? I think that's a scheme issue. I think that is a quarterback issue. Like, I think that there's a lot surrounding Luther Burden that isn't helping. But I watched him, and I put out a couple clips of him from a previous game. I still think Luther Burden is Luther Burden. Like, I still think that it's there. It really is. I still think he's dense. I think he's pretty physical for his size, despite being a little bit shorter. I think he's good after the catch. I think he's explosive in tight quarters. I think his long speed is underrated in that capacity. So he is still a very good player. He is still a guy that I would say, for me personally, is still wide receiver one in this class. There's a debate now with Teterow McMillan, Isaiah Bonds. I even think guys like Emeka Egbuka can have some claim to that conversation at this point. But I really do think that Luther Burden is still the same player. I just think he is in a much worse machine right now. I mean, he's an underutilized cog in a worse Missouri offense right now.
Well, Teterow McMillan has taken that step forward that we were looking for from him. I think, though, he's still what we were expecting. And I think that I'm still not 100% there on the separation, because he's clearly still not a guy that's quick enough to separate from defensive backs. But one thing that still remains true for Teteroa McBillan Ryan is that he is a freak for his size. Like the change of direction, the flexibility, his hips, all of those things for how easy he's able to maneuver for this guy that's going to be 6'5". He's going to be in the upper echelon for weight, length, all those things for a prospect. I don't think it's fair to put him in the same category as Drake London, because Drake London was much faster than Teteroa McBillan was, but he can be a game-changing player. There are a lot of spots on film where he wins because of how big he is,
yeah,
and because of how fluid he can move, and the concentration, the body control, all those things. A lot of boxes are checked. I keep seeing mock drafts by like random places that put him in the top five. I'm not there. I'm not there with him, but certainly playing like he could be the first receiver take.
He is. So, man, I have so many mixed feelings on Teteroa McBillan. So here's what I'll say, Joe. I may have been too harsh on him in the summer. I'm going to start the conversation there. I think that I was underselling some of the upside that he does bring to the table here. And I think that you quantified it perfectly. This is a massive kid, height-wise, that moves incredibly well from a fluidity perspective and getting in and out of breaks perspective. He's got a crazy catch radius and strong hands. He does. My issues with Teteroa, because I don't even think it's a speed thing, but I would say it's more of an explosiveness thing for me. I wish he was more explosive in and out of breaks and not just smooth in and out of breaks, because I was actually talking with this with a couple friends yesterday, Joe. Like, I think that my issue with Teteroa for projecting into a high-end wide receiver one, or just a wide receiver one in general, is I do think that when he's going to go against longer, more explosive outside corners, and he has to try to separate with any form of explosiveness, I think he's going to have some issues uncovering consistently. Like, I just really do. I think this is a high-end wide receiver two on the next level. Someone compared him to T. Higgins out there, and I like that comp. I like T. Higgins because he's not Drake London. Drake London was explosive out of breaks, explosive after the catch, different type of athlete. He's more of long, lull you to sleep, even though he's not fast, he's incredibly smooth. If you could guarantee me that Teteroa McBillan was working against zone coverage all the time, I would be so in, because he's so smart, he's so sleek, he's so smooth, and he's got great ball skills. But I am still a little bit hesitant on him projecting him to be a number one wide receiver against a heavy man scheme that has physical outside corners. I think that is where he's going to struggle potentially on the next level. But I would take him in the first round. But I would not take him top five, and I probably wouldn't take him top 10. He's more of a top 20, 25 player, in my opinion, in this class.
Like, the first guy that comes to mind, like Sauce Gardner. Tall, physical, strong, going to be able to make a play at the catch point. I don't know if he wins in that situation.
Right?
Could he eventually get to the point where he does? Because what does he do to get better in that spot? He's not going to get faster linearly. And how much stronger is he really going to get that he's going to win those spots? But yeah, you bring up that good point where these guys that are, there's not many. We know that it's a rarity to have these freakishly long and fast corners in the NFL. But those types of guys, the Sauce Gardeners, that fit that archetype that you're talking about, are going to be able to have a much easier time covering him.
So the game that has haunted me the last 2 years, and it's happened back to back years now, Joe, when he's going against Utah, okay, and he's had to play outside against their corner number five, who is 6'2" and an eighth, 175 pounds, and can run pretty well. He just has a hard time uncovering against that guy, a guy that is long and that can run. He has a hard time consistently uncovering because he is not overly fast. And I'm just worried. I think that you said Sauce Gardner, right? I think of Jalen Ramsey. I think about these larger, big, strong corners that you can't just run by. I really struggle with how much separation he's going to create. For me, he's a secondary. He's a high-end number two that you could play in the slot at times. You could play in the boundary, and you can kind of mix and match his skills and let him work against soft spots and zones. Like, that's his body. And then overall, if you can get him outside, matched up against some smaller corners where his catch radius and his hand strength could really be his ally. Those are the ways I think Teteroa McBillan wins on the next level.
Isaiah Bond's production hasn't been anything like super crazy so far this year. Past couple games, he's been not as productive, but God, I think that he is going to be such a undervalued player in this class, because he might finish the year like 900 yards. Like, he might finish this season with an unsexy stat total. And I think that there's going to be plenty of people who don't want to read between the lines to really evaluate him, aren't going to be as hyped up. I know at this current moment, after I watched his tape for today's preparation for today's show, I know I'm going to really like him. I know I'd be willing to take him in the first round. He is stupid fast.
Yes.
That's what it all comes down to. He is stupid fast, and he is not like Xavier Worthy last year. Xavier Worthy was faster. But Xavier, Bond has better hands. I think he's better body control, better concentration. Bond is the type of guy that you draft and that just becomes an over-the-top headache, and also somebody that you scheme him touches at the line of scrimmage and is just separating so quickly. I'm a big Isaiah Bond fan. I was in the preseason, and I'm still there. I'm still all the way there with Isaiah Bond.
I'm so frustrated watching him, though, on a week-to-week basis, because he started off pretty good from a production perspective earlier this year, and then now he's banged up and injured. And the last couple weeks, I just think that the Quinn Ewers injury and kind of going back and forth between quarterbacks a little bit has kind of hurt his production a little bit the last couple weeks. But, Joe, he has all the makings of being the first wide receiver off the board. Like, I would not be shocked if he was, if he has a strong end to the finish, the first wide receiver off the board. Because although he's 5'11", 180 pounds, so he's probably 5'10 and some change and 180 pounds, he is not only fast, but he's quick in and out of breaks. He can separate as a route runner. And he's stronger than you would think, too, man. Like, he's got some contested capability for his size, at least comparatively. So this kid is a potential all-around player. I think there is some Jalen Waddle to his game, and I mean that in the best way possible, because Jalen Waddle, I was a big fan of coming out of Alabama. I think that there's something to that comp. It's just now about, can he finish strong this season, get healthy, and get back on the same page with Quinn Ewers or Arch Manning, whoever the heck the quarterback ends up being down the stretch. He just needs kind of that cohesion working down the end of the season.
Trey Harris has been really frustrating because he started this season as the most productive receiver in the country, had this insane beginning of the year. And you see in spurts, like, this is a true X. This is a guy that I think has the frame, the hands, again, talking about concentration, pretty good route runner, not like a freaky athlete compared to some of these other players that we're talking about. He is not the same level of height, weight, speed athlete as a Tetero McMillan, or as dangerous after the catch as a Luther Burden. But he was just showing so much improvement as just being a reliable option that he could be a good secondary option on a team. But the problem is now is that he's banged up.
Yes.
So he was making all this progress. He was getting better and better. He was putting all this good stuff on film. And then the LSU game, you could tell that he was still banged up. And then he didn't play, or didn't record any stats, rather, against Oklahoma, I assume it's because he didn't play. Him being banged up really sucks, because I was starting to wonder, like, hey, is Trey Harris going to be higher than like a top seven receiver? Has he played himself into that convo? And we might not have enough evidence to play that if he's banged up the whole rest of this year.
I mean, he was, Joe, like the first like 6 or 7 weeks of the year, I think you could have made an argument that Trey Harris should have been in like the Heisman conversation. I mean, he was playing at that level too.
Well, they were playing slappy state, so I don't know how much we can really.
I mean, he had some production against some pretty decent teams outside of slappy state, though. I mean, if we're being honest, like, did you watch the Kentucky game, man? Kentucky's got a good defense. You're gonna act like they don't. You're gonna act like they don't.
Well, that was when he got banged. That was when he got banged.
Yeah, but he was still. I mean, he was still killing Kentucky, killing them. I mean, he is from a production perspective. He's one of the best in college football. Here's what I love about Trey Harris, and I liked about him even before the season began. He is a bully ball of a football player, man. He will go up, work through contact, strong hands, great ball skills, really good stuff at the catch point. But we know, and you know, that I'm very hesitant on catch point guys sometimes, right? So I wanted to see more this year. Let me see more. And I think he's taking a nice step as a route runner this year. I don't think he's a great athlete. I just don't. I think he's going to be a mid-4.5 type of dude. Like, I don't think he's going to be a great separator with speed ever. But if he has these route running upside that I saw this year combined with the ball skills, that means that you can be a nice secondary option on the NFL level. I don't think he's ever number one in the NFL, but I think he could be a good number two receiver on the next level because of those ball skills and that route running progress we saw this year as well.
One more guy before we kind of pitch some other players that caught our attention so far. Jalen Royals was a bit of a small school. I don't know where I was going with that word. That got away from me. trying to do a show sick. always ends up well. Jalen Royals was a little bit of a preseason darling for us, yes. Who at Utah State on a terrible team, they've won one football game over Robert Morris. Spencer Petras, did you know he's playing football still?
He had a game where he threw like 400 yards, bro, at Utah State. So
yeah. They still lost.
Yes.
But the real star on this Utah State team is Jalen Royals. He is, God, man, he was really impressive watching him in the preseason. And he might have already gotten better. He might have already gotten better about halfway through this year. For me, what's so impressive is just the fluidity.
Yes.
He's a guy who's cut and go. There's no speed lost. Flexibility, something that I always mention is underrated when discussing receivers, because it's something that just isn't totally visible in front of our faces. And you kind of need to pay close attention to how do their hips move when they're going in and out of their cuts. I just love the way this guy moves. He's got some pretty consistent hands as well.
He does.
For the production that he's putting up, I'm surprised and also disappointed that he's not getting enough love just nationally for who he's becoming as a playmaker.
Well, obviously the Senior Bowl invites haven't come out, but I don't think he's going to get a lot of love from a national perspective until he balls out at the Senior Bowl, Joe, because he's out for the rest of the year with a foot injury. I don't know if you saw that one, but he's out for the rest of the year now. Which is,
well, this is why we do the show, so our listeners know that.
Man, it's very unfortunate because I mean, he's been having a great year. Even in the games they're losing, he's the one that's kind of trying to keep them in the game. Like, he's the big focal point there, number one for the Utah State offense. He is 5'11 and a half, 194 pounds, but he's really physically well put together despite not being the tallest guy in the world, which helps him at the catch point, man. Like, he does a good job competing for the football. He's really smooth. He can run every route in the book because I think he's got a solid baseline of quickness, acceleration, long speed. Like, it's all just solid to good for NFL standards. So I think that he's going to be able to separate on multiple levels of the field. And he is just a guy for me that's a big riser in this class. I had a third round grade in the preseason. I would not be shocked if this kid, if he has a good process, is at least a top 75 player, if not a top 64 player. Like, I would not be shocked if this was a second round pick eventually when we're talking about him. So Jalen Royals, for people that haven't watched him, because you don't pay attention to the Mountain West much, that's that brand of football. And you need to go back and watch some of his games, because unfortunately he's out for the rest of the year, but he has been balling out for Utah State this season.
I had one guy I want to mention before I let you jump in with any others. I've mentioned him before. Xavier Restrepo from Miami.
He was one of mine.
Okay. I can't help but be excited by him because his role in this offense for Miami, having an actual quarterback throwing him the football, he's gotten better and better every single week.
Yep.
He is somebody who I think can be truly dominant in the slot because he's a strong kid. He's built like a running back, the way that he is, you know, his frame is he's a little bit shorter. He's under 6 foot. He's a little bit on the wider side. Good route runner. I think that he's got the feet to create separation for himself over the middle and on the outside. He's done that plenty. And he's also a guy that's super productive after the catch. I don't know if I'm ready to completely get there, but he could be an early second round pick with the upside to go at the end of the first round. Like, Ricky Pearsall was good enough to be a first round pick, which was unexpected.
Right.
But there are some similarities in traits and usage that could be applied here for Restrepo. I'd take him on day two. I think he is a very impactful player with the football in his hands, and he's able to create for himself.
Yeah, I'm a little more on the late day two conversation with Restrepo, but like it's a valid conversation because it is a wide receiver class that is a little bit wide open. But I do think the age and kind of the restrictions of where he's going to line up potentially could knock him down a little bit as far as like how high you value him on a draft day. But for me, Joe, like, he is the unfortunate guy this year that is going to have every cliche comparison in this class, right? Like, every white slot receiver in the world is going to be Xavier Restrepo this year.
He looks just like Cooper Kupp.
Oh, man. Which is kind of funny because, like, he actually does kind of remind me of Danny Amendola. And I'm not saying that
his body type
is actually similar. It is similar, but that's another conversation for another day. Love the body control. I think that he has some of the best hands in the class. And dude, there was one rep, I think it was the first game of the year against Florida State the first game of the year against Florida, where Cam Ward kind of threw a ball behind him. And Joe, like he almost was parallel to the ground on his adjustment. And I thought he broke his back for a second. Like it was an incredible adjustment. So he's just that guy that I think is just going to be a solid contributor to the NFL level for like 8+ years. And you're just going to kind of forget that he's playing for your team, but he's just going to be good, a good player. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Well, before you give me some of your guys, but random question, did you watch Nick Marsh at all? He's leading the country in receiving at the time of us taping this. And I was going to click into him and watch him, but I didn't get around to it. Not Nick Marsh. Wait, not him. Wait,
I was about to say Nick Marsh is the
first. Nick Nash. Nick Nash. Sorry, I mixed him up.
Former San Jose State quarterback, but now playing wide receiver. No, I have not gotten eyes on Nick Nash yet. I have not.
Okay.
But it's a cool back.
I want to watch him because he's number one in the country in receiving yards now.
I was like, Nick Marsh from Michigan State? Are you scouting?
No.
He's a freshman. Are you scouting for true freshman right now?
He's declaring early. Yeah. He's declaring early.
No, I haven't gotten eyes on Nash, but I do know that he was a former quarterback at San Jose State earlier in his career, so he's going to be a guy to obviously get eyes on for sure. I only had two guys I want to throw out there. Just two.
Okay.
One is Daniel Jackson from Minnesota. Dude, ball player, dude. Ball player, Joe. 6 foot.
On a team that can't move the ball through the air.
And he just had 9 catches for like over 100 yards last week. Like Max Brosmer actually threw for like 400 yards last week. I don't know if you saw that one, which was kind of wild.
Who did they have?
Maryland's. They smacked Maryland's. Minnesota smacked Maryland's. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, they do. They do. But he was a big reason for that victory. 9 catches over 100 yards for Daniel Jackson. 6 foot, 200 pounds. I put the comp on here before, but he reminds me so much. And again, I'm not saying he's going to quite be this player because this player is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. But there's a lot of Amon-Ra St. Brown to how he moves. Really crafty feel to him that's more explosive in tight quarters than you would think, and he just understands how to get open ultimately. So I like Daniel Jackson from Minnesota a lot. I had a third round grade on him before the season, and I think that he could be a top 100 player in this class. And the last guy who is crazy productive this year for an undefeated team, Jalen Noel, wide receiver from Iowa State. He's a smaller built kid, sub 5'10", only 190 something pounds. So he's pretty strongly built. He shares the ball with Jaden Higgins, who's another draft eligible wide receiver. He's a bigger dude, 6'4" kid, but Noel, smooth, explosive, understands spacing. He's really surprised, like really good after the catch. This is kind of like your modern day slot receiver who's going to kind of work in a spread offense a little bit more. And he's going to RPO game. Like I really like what Jalen Noel brings to the game. Fourth round grade for me in the preseason. I think he could be trending upward. He could be a day two player if he continues his ascension.
Yeah, him and Higgins have been super, super duper productive. There's a lot of guys in like to close us out with this, a lot of guys to kind of keep track of this year for this receiver class. Cause there's a lot of guys that are like at the top of these statistical categories that I knew nothing about. And I know that it's always receivers that one position where college production almost never translates to the NFL. There's a very small bucket of guys that are super crazy productive in college that end up being really good in the NFL, which is why you shouldn't really be worried about Luther Burden. It kind of brings into the conversation the context of Trey Harris and Tyrell McMillan on us like wanting to know what's going to happen there. And Nick Nash, who we didn't even spend time to watch, like he might just be a guy who's kicking the crap out of a bunch of Mountain West guys, but I almost wonder who's buried amongst the top players in those conversations and if any of these really productive guys are better than we might expect.
Yeah, it's a great conversation because I'm like looking down my list of guys that I watched in the preseason, and I haven't sat down and watched the last 2 weeks, but you know who's been balling out for Oregon is both Evan Stewart had a huge game against Ohio State, and then Tez Johnson. Yeah, exactly. And Tez Johnson's not my cup of tea from a body type perspective, but like production is production at the end of the day. So funny one, as you were talking about the production, at least from a career perspective, not really translating as well in wide receiver, Joe, can I end this podcast with a trivia question for you? Can we do this?
Okay, what do you got?
Who is the NCAA all-time leader in receiving yards?
It's not Devonta Smith?
It is not Devonta Smith.
Give me a hint.
You don't know who they are. That's your hint. You probably don't know who they are. I would be very surprised if you knew.
You're talking about all levels is what you're trying to trip me up with.
I'm not talking about all levels. I think if it's all levels, I'm pretty sure Cooper Kupp would be at least high in that conversation. Let me make sure that I have the right.
Okay, who is it?
Oh, actually, I'm wrong, dude. It used to be Trevor Inslee. Actually, the leading receiver now is Corey Davis at Western Michigan. I thought it was Trevor Inslee still. It's not Trevor.
You're a hack.
It used to be Trevor Inslee, man. It used to be Trevor.
Fake news. Trevor's trying to make up a fake trivia question over here.
Trevor Inslee held the record for 14 years at Nevada. Okay. Longer than that. He led it for 17 years at Nevada, and then Corey Davis broke it. So there we go.
Well, there's your trivia. Let's have a trivia question for the tight end show that we're going to be doing later on this week. Folks, stay tuned. Subscribe so you don't miss out. 5-star review if you're tuning on audio. And then new YouTube channel, please subscribe. We're not posting on the Hack City channel anymore. We have a specific first team channel because we only want the draft junkies to be coming to that channel. So subscribe, don't miss out. Leave us a comment. We'll talk to you folks later.